And then at other times, they just swing their arms and start becoming delirious and even becoming violent. So actually the word mata means that someone is insane or intoxicated. Pramata means that someone is very, very feverish or very crazy. And then apramata means the opposite of that, that one that someone is without this type of fever. A conditioned soul is someone who's actually speaking out of context and living out of context of his true spiritual identity. So he's actually liberated, he's free from any type of connection with matter, but he's identified himself with his body, and he's acting according to that. And then he says so many foolish things and does so many foolish things. So we know all of the different activities that we perform that are in relationship to this body. People work all their lives for nothing, thinking that this is everything. People kill each other because they have a different colored body from each other. And with their words, people hurt each other because someone considers that the body of one person is a friend and another person is an enemy. But actually all of these things are delirium because they have nothing to do with reality. As in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Tejo vari midam yatra vinimayo yatra atra amrisha visarga amrisha, that these are all just the illusions that are created by the three modes of material nature. And it's only when someone actually becomes free from the influence of these material modes and identifies with his spiritual identity that he becomes sane, he becomes apramata. Sagudan samatittaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. When he's free from the influence of the gunas, then he acts on a spiritual platform. And then on the spiritual platform, one actually acts according to one's own identity. And when you act according to your identity, then tavakatamrita, then you speak things that make sense. And you also behave in a way that also makes sense. Because one is no longer in the false, feverish conception of material life. But he's in a healthy condition. So that healthy condition is the condition of a real devotee. He is apramata. He doesn't have any material fever. He's sane. So sober is another type of description. Sober is someone who's not intoxicated. An intoxicated person, he's like a feverish person. He also talks and behaves in so many crazy ways. But a devotee, even if he's not transcendentally situated, he practices talking and behaving in a sober way. So by following the behavior, by following the conduct of those who are liberated, he also acts in a liberated fashion. So this sobriety is a good quality to cultivate, and it's something that can be acquired by practice. Lord Chaitanya says, Gramya katana shunibe, gramya vartana kohibe. He says, don't listen to the talk of intoxicated people and don't speak in a foolish way. So this is a real sane behavior. This is the way a Vaishnava is known. And these are the things that Krishna emphasizes at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita when he's talking about the qualities of someone who's transcendentally situated. So Krishna talks about how such a person walks and talks and how he stands and how he sits. These are the real qualities of a person. Just like because Srila Prabhupada there says that a person is known by his behavior. How does he speak? Does he speak in a sane way or does he speak in an insane way? So that is apramada, someone who is actually sober, sane, free from material fever. Anyone have any questions in regards to that? Okay, what's the question?
The question, Maharaj, is how to maintain and preserve our sobriety as devotees while associating with our non-devotee relatives. How do we protect ourselves from degrading to their level? And how do we maintain our own level?
We communicate to people, we give information, but we don't compromise our values. Krishna, in that second chapter, he says that the person who's not affected by good or evil, that's a person who's sober, who has steady mind. How does my question is, how does a mother keep sane raising children? To have to come down to a child's platform and always be relating to them, which is really just on the basis of eating, sleeping, playing, is actually compromising your consciousness. But still, parents do that because that's what they have to do in order to be able to communicate with their children, because that's where their children are at. But that doesn't give anyone any rights to just ignore the laws of adults and to just start behaving like a child, even with one's peers or one's seniors. So just because you play with your children doesn't mean you have to play when you're at work. So a person does what he has to do without becoming degraded by such activities. Something else about that? Or is there any question on that further?
Some written questions.
Okay, well let's...
You'd like to translate them for you.
Let's go on to the next one then. Go ahead.
Krishna Priya Mataji again. It says, just a second. While giving prasadam to his guests, he said that an odd number of like prasadam, which is served like piecemeal, can be given only to an enemy. In other words, one should never serve an odd number of pieces of prasadam to one's friend. But when we offer poga to the deities, we always give them an odd number of piecemeal prasadam. So what should we offer to the deities? Even or odd number?
I don't know. Maybe you know better than me. What do you say?
Excuse me, Rosh, asking me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I heard about sweets. Prashurpada told that about sweets. And I don't know about the deities. I don't know anything about it. Sorry.
I think probably that the first criterion... Oh, someone has the microphone on. Okay. I think probably the first criterion is how good the food is that you're offering to the deities or to your friend. I think the first criterion is how good the food is that you are offering to the deities or to your friend. If you're offering something of any number and it's unedible, then what difference does it make? But if you're offering something that's very good, very tasty, then it doesn't matter what numbers you give. Even if you make a mistake, I'm sure it will be forgiven. Possibly in the deity handbook, one can find information about this. But let me just make a comment on this a little further. Quality in terms of cooking is extremely important. And we should ensure that the food that we prepare is actually according to the standard that Srila Prabhupada had taught us. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada was a world-class cook, and he really wanted devotees to also be very good cooks, and he trained them like that. Probably the standard of cooking in ISKCON today is certainly not as it was during Srila Prabhupada's time. And what devotees accept as being offerable to the deities or offerable to devotees is very often compromised quality. And particularly, devotees like to impose their own cultural training on what prasadam should taste like.
So instead of
offering gulab jamuns or rasgulas, they like to offer cakes. Instead of eating chapatis, they like to eat bread. And instead of different types of sabjis and pakoras, then they make nationally traditional dishes. And the result of that is that we're actually losing part of our very important culinary tradition. We're losing our culinary tradition. And that's very important because we're a kitchen religion. So if a kitchen religion loses its tradition of cooking, then it's going to be in trouble. So I'm not answering your question because I don't know the answer. But if you're asking me about what's important in terms of prasadam, I'd say that quality is more important than the numbers that you serve. And you can easily figure out whether you should serve two of something or three of something, but it's not so easy to make it like Srila Prabhupada wanted it to be. But it's possible if we learn, and if we're willing to learn. I see often that it's very, very difficult to teach devotees to cook because they think they know how. Anything more on that issue? Okay, what's the other question? Yeah, go ahead.
Second question is, how is ISKCON registered in Hungary? Is it a religious organization legally? Or is it a non-profit organization or something like that? Basically, registered as a non-profit organization, regular, like a movement, a social movement or something like that. In this way, we would have had much less problems with Christians and the government. Do you have any comment on that?
You want to translate that, or? I don't want to particularly comment on what should or shouldn't be done in Moscow. That's not really my business. In Hungary, we're registered as a religion. For instance, in England, we're registered as a religious charity. But actually, we're more of a religious society than a religion. If necessary, due to political reasons, it may be easier for us to just be registered as a some kind of society. That would be all right also. Prabhupada, after all, called us the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so he emphasized that we're a religious society, not particularly a religion per se. And if such things exist as a religious society, then that even more represents what ISKCON is meant to be than rather just a religion per se. But I'm sure the leaders over there are perfectly qualified to decide what's the best thing to do. Nothing else? Go ahead.
Well, it's about your plans. Are you going to come in any foreseeable future to Kazakhstan, or are you going to visit the Blessy Festival in Russia this autumn?
I have no plan to go to the festival in Russia. I think I mentioned that I probably won't go anymore to either one. About a week ago, Govinda Maharaj phoned me and asked me to come to Kazakhstan for some festival that they're planning there. And in principle, I agreed, although he doesn't yet have a concrete date as to when he wants to do that. And I don't know whether it's an open festival, whether others can come either, just because of the difficult situation that they have there. It's more for the devotees in Kazakhstan. And I'm only doing that because Govinda Maharaj comes here regularly every year, and I haven't been there for some years. So that's... But I'm not planning to go to the festival in the fall, Russian festival in the fall. Anything else? Go ahead.
About Niranjana Maharaj, how is his health and condition, and whether he's recuperating from what you observe?